Hey guys, this is Olivier and you're watching the Internet of Things show, and today we have Kevin Miller with us. Kevin will talk about what happened in the Azure IoT world since we started this product. So Kevin, first, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And who are you? What do you do at Microsoft?
So I'm the group program manager for the Azure IoT platform team. So my team does IoT Hub, IoT Edge, IoT Client.
Okay. So it's been now a couple years that we had the Azure IoT Hub out, yeah. Right? Tons of things have changed. Right. I think we went through a hack recently together, and yeah. We're just like realizing that even ourselves working on that thing, we don't know about everything that's going on, and we're still using old ways Absolutely. Of using the hub and so on, while new stuff was in there we didn't even like use ourselves. So. Right. Can we try and go through all of that and you know, from a developer standpoint, what's new and how should I use the Azure IoT platform these right. days?
Well, I think I've thought a lot about that experience we had on our little hackathon exercise, because I realized without even thinking about it, I was reverting back to the way we did things when the platform was launched. Okay. And I was writing custom code for things that you had to write custom code for then that you don't yep. anymore. Right. So I think, a lot of our customers and partners are in that same position. And so one of the things that we're going to try to do more aggressively going forward is to be regular about updating that sort of information, because okay. Otherwise we're moving so fast that it's hard for us to keep track, let alone for our customers and our partners to keep track. And part of what that experience at the hackathon showed me was that, you know, we have all of these, I call them patterns or atomic patterns, where we everything, every solution has to do these things. Mm-hmm. And so when my team does planning, what we do is we say, what is it the customers are trying to do? What can we do to make those common things easier? And that really drives a lot of how we think about planning, as you well know.
Okay, yeah, definitely. And so because that's a platform, right? So there's only some levels, you know, some layers of functionality. Right. So we started from something that was kind of a simple, right? So it was messaging right. and basic stuff, right? So what would you say are the main changes that developers should care about, should pay attention these days compared to that?
So at the base level, there's a lot of functionality with things like, how do I get a secret onto a device so mm-hmm. I can secure it? And I can make a secure connection from it. How do I get telemetry off the device to the cloud? Okay. How do I get commands back from the cloud to the device? And if you look at all of these areas, they pretty much all took custom code originally. Mm-hmm. The SDKs helped, but then over time, more and more functionality got added to the SDKs. So if you think of things like the secure hardware for a device that's sitting in a public or a semi-public place, and you mm-hmm. want to have mm-hmm. a secure experience, well, the hardware itself has to detect a reboot or a malicious reboot.
Okay.
It has to have secure boot technology is something that's really important. And we build more and more of the functionality for interfacing with that secure hardware okay. directly into the SDKs.
Okay.
So now there's a new SDK auth layer that allows you to do that.
Okay.
Similarly for key management, we used to originally say it's your job as the developer
yeah.
to get that key onto the device.
Yeah.
And it's fine if it's one dev box, mm-hmm. but it's very different if it's, you know, 2 million connected cars.
Yes, you don't want to do that manually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's why we did the provisioning service, to allow you to have the device turn on for the first time, mm-hmm. do the handshake with the cloud based okay. on a cert that's manufactured on the device, mm-hmm. and get going in a secure manner. And so again, that's, you know, that's another relatively recent thing. And then at the beginning, we required a lot of work to be done at the connection management level, at handling telemetry errors.
Okay.
Having the connection stay live, so if the cloud tried mm-hmm. to talk to the device was actually listening.
Yeah, which is like super common on an IoT scenario, right? We're exactly. talking about wireless things with the equipment in this room and so on, and it's right. like not having permanent connection is definitely common.
Right, and so in the first version of the software that we did in early 2016, mm-hmm. a lot of those exceptional cases you had to code to. Mm-hmm. Like we helped you get going with the common case.
Yeah, yeah.
But okay, the device went to sleep and wakes up 10 days later. Well, you had to write some custom code to make sure that when it woke up, it was listening again.
Got it.
And so now the SDK supports All of that stuff out of the box. And this was the thing that you were teasing me about at the at our hackathon, because I immediately started writing some code to do connection management. And you were going, yo, Kev, the, you know, the SDK does it for you now. Yeah. And that's exactly the sort of code that, as an application developer, I don't want to write. Right? I want to write the code that's my unique IP, that's my unique value.
Yes.
And me being the 12,000th person to implement exponential backoff, is not going to make me more money.
Yeah, right. Interestingly, you're actually naming that one policy about retry logic, because actually it also, because we're providing these various policies or common patterns, you can actually just go and pick without having to redevelop the algorithms and so on.
Right.
And everything is open source as well, right?
Right, so if you want, if you think your specialty area is your magic exponential backoff, you can write
it. So, so the core functionality level, what you're saying is that we are basically adding these core pieces of software that we're seeing being used everywhere,
right
in IoT scenarios.
Right, and these are just atomic patterns that everybody does all the time.
Okay, so perfect.
And then if you then move up a layer from the absolute basic stuff around can I make a connection, to the what I think of as more like the application level pattern.
Okay.
It's like, how do I want data to move through the system? What kind of data do I care about? Do I care whether or not the data is in order? You know, like if you and I buy the same home security system application and we both go home and hit open the door, those are very independent events. And so as the person who's building that system, probably all I really want to know is that I get an event when my user hits the button.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't want to have to think about how I manage a million simultaneous events. You know, if it's Super Bowl Sunday and 100 million people come home from the grocery store right in time for the game and unlock their doors, the application developer doesn't want to have to think about that scale problem. That's a classic distributed systems program that most people don't want to solve again. Right? But something like Event Grid or IoT Hub Routes, Azure Functions, allows that to scale up and down as needed by the load.
Got it.
Without requiring me as a developer to go, oh, what is my peak going to be? How do I think about scaling up? What if happens if everybody unlocks their door at the same time?
Got it. So leveraging like high scale pops up platform infrastructure directly hooked up into the platform, right?
And so that was our announcement in January of Event Grid integration.
Got it.
Because there's a nice event platform that more and more services are supporting that allows me to think, here are some events that I care about either raising or consuming, and I don't want to be the person who has to figure out how the scaling works, or how the buffering works, or how the retry semantics work.
Makes sense.
For most cases.
Another aspect of routing that I really love that was kind of a, previously we're using Streamlit's jobs, you know, behind IoT Hub to do simple routing of data.
Right.
And it was kind of like using a big, huge bazooka to kill a fly, right? Because I want to have the data coming from device blah to go on that storage. I want to have, you know, messages are coming with a temperature that is above a certain threshold to go somewhere else. So these are things that could not be done, you know, within IoT Hub, but now can, right?
Right. And that was exactly how that design was driven, because we realized an awful lot of our customers were using Stream Analytics, and the query was select star. Right, because all they wanted to do is take all the telemetry and send it to storage.
Got it, yeah.
And so why would we make somebody put another service in if that's what they were going to do? Now, if they're really using, you know, windowing and time series, using the time information, Stream Analytics is a great solution.
Exactly, yeah.
But if it's really just, I want all the telemetry to go to storage, why would I need a service for that?
That makes sense.
And really, the other thing that I was, it's been interesting to me, we're, you know, moving into conference season, we're moving into the planning cycle, and I was thinking about some of these common solutions kind of at a higher level abstraction of a pattern, and the work that we've done over the last couple of years to make these things dramatically easier to build, and trying not to make the same mistake I made in the hackathon of writing code that I don't need it right anymore. And I took a demo that I had written a couple of years ago. And when I wrote it a couple of years ago, it had a ton of custom code in it. And I rewrote basically the same demo with no code, just configuration.
Nice.
And that's when I realized that we really are kind of following the path that the customers are putting in front of us. And, you know, if you think about one of my favorite scenarios, as you know, are these relatively simple IoT solutions. I call them one-bit data problems. Mm-hmm. You know, is the thing where it's supposed to be?
Yep.
If so, do nothing. You know, if it is not where it's supposed to be, then maybe you want to do something. So this is compliance. Is the forklift where it goes? It's anti-theft. Okay. Is the expensive bracelet still in the case or still in the store?
Safety. Like
so many of these scenarios.
Where's my kid?
Exactly. Where's my is my dog in the yard? Everybody's favorite IoT scenario. So, but I was thinking about that, and if you built that sort of solution with a platform as it was a couple of years ago, well, you'd be doing that that hard coding of the secret information on the device, and you would have to write a bunch of custom code to get the device programmed and configured the way you want it, and you could use the telemetry to send the data and receive commands, but you'd have to write all the error handling code yourself, right? And so even just on the device itself, you've written a bunch of custom code. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that same device today, you'd use the provisioning service to provision it. You would probably use IoT Edge to push the application to it, so you wouldn't have to even touch it for the application. You'd still have to write whatever custom logic you wanted to run on the device, but you wouldn't be writing a bunch of code to make it all configured and, you wouldn't be writing a bunch of integration code.
Yeah, and actually writing that code would require you to read the documentation to understand what to write and so on.
Exactly. And then the SDK itself would provide all that error handling code that you would have had to write yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, just the device side, dramatically simpler and a lot more thinking of configuring the device and less I keep cracking it open and writing C code on it. Right? Yep. So that's a big jump. And then when you get to the cloud, the same sort of thing continues to happen. If I wrote this app 2 years ago, I would have probably had to write an event processor host to pull the data out of the hub.
Yes.
And that's a big distributed systems algorithm that really nobody wants to write unless that's their niche.
Yeah, right? And not only you have to write the code, but then depending on the solution you're developing, you would have to scale that. Because you run that code in a VM, and then what happens, right? In terms of the spike of loads and things like that.
And all that's on you.
Yeah.
Or would have been 2 years ago, right? Yeah, so you have to do that to get the data out. Then you probably have to write a VM, write some code in a VM to do that. Is that, let's say it's the bracelet. Is the bracelet still in the store scenario, right? Yeah. So you have to write a Polygon check. Mm-hmm. But if you have a whole bunch of stores by your application, you're in scaling management again.
Yeah.
Like how many VMs do I need?
Yeah.
I'm marshalling and doing a lot of integration code into and out of that VM as well. Mm-hmm. And then if, let's say, let's leave the bracelet behind and say it's one of these scenarios where when the device is outside the Polygon, I want to send it a message.
Yeah.
Like the forklift is outside the normal area, I want to remotely send a message to turn the flashing light on.
A
real world safety scenario, right? So in the old days, I could have sent a message back through the hub to the device. But then I would have had to write some code to keep polling to say, did it go?
Yeah.
Did you get it? Did you turn a light on?
Yeah.
Right? And if I have one forklift, that's not a hard problem. Mm-hmm. If I have 100,000 forklifts, that's another scalable distributed systems problem that I'm having to solve. And so again, if I fast forward to today, I probably use a route out of the hub instead of writing an event processor host. Mm-hmm. So that's just go in the UI and configure it, or use the CLI to configure it. So there's no code there. I have to write some custom code, like in an Azure function, to do the Polygon check still. But then maybe if I want to send a message back to that forklift, I now make a twin change.
Okay, so you update the twin of the device.
And say, I want the light to be on.
Okay.
And now I don't have to poll for that, because now I'm going to get a message back. I'm going to get a notification when the twin change actually happens on the device.
On the device.
Yeah. Right? So three of those pieces of code that I was going to have to write in the cloud were relatively complicated distributed systems, scalable problems. Problems where the scale is my business, right? As a developer. And now these are much simpler code or pure configuration, and the scale is handled by the system.
Awesome.
And so that's the sort of thing that we do really as we try to drive the platform forward, is we look at all these things, we try to understand what customers are doing, where there's a concept that we're making them understand really they don't care to understand.
Yeah.
99% of developers don't want to know that there's an event processor host.
Yeah.
They just want to know that I want the data to go out of the hub and to go over there.
Got it. Yeah,
and so that's really a lot of how we drive the evolution of the platform and the work that we do on a day-to-day basis to make it better.
I'm looking forward to see that your 10 lines code app version of what took like hundreds lately. Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah, so no, that's good to see that the platform is definitely evolving with what the customers are asking. That's key to, you know, what we're doing in general. I think you guys were watching that, actually, you'll be happy to hear that as well. So like common you know, output or common, you know, takeaway is like use our SDKs.
Yes.
That's number one, because actually there's super reach in terms of the functionality.
Enricher, yes.
So because you were talking about these like TPM and encryption and the retry logic and so on, but and then, you know, start looking also as well into the more advanced feature of the hub in the back end. So that's okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, routes of Ncred. There's a lot of power there. Serverless programming.
Let's try and do that regularly and have this kind of update on the AIT show about what's going on the platform. Right. Thanks, Kevin.
That's good.
Talk to you soon. Thanks,
Olivia.